to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 63 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we have a great guest in Rick Killingsworth from the DisneyDining.com website. Rick is an excellent source of information for all things food down at Walt Disney World, and I'm sure all you foodies out there are really going to like this show. Jimmy and Jen had a chance to sit down with Rick. Here we go.
Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, I have Jennifer with me. Jennifer, hey, how's it going?
Good, glad to be here. Excited to talk about food.
One of our favorite things.
Yes.
That's one of the things that ties all the Disney nerds together is our food and wine festival trip. So that was, we know how we all love food. And
that's right. Yeah, Jimmy, I'm so excited to talk to Rick. Rick has DisneyDining.com, which we've talked a lot about on our show. There's an amazing Facebook community and just a super resource for Disney dining. And Rick has just written a book called Dining at Walt Disney World, The Definitive Guide, a book pretty much exactly that covers everything you want to know about dining at Walt Disney World. Rick, so good to have you on.
Oh, guys, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you.
So, Rick, let me ask you this. First question out the box. What makes Rick a Disney nerd?
You know, that's a great question. I have probably become slightly less of a Disney nerd once I became a local to Florida. But I was the type A Disney militant planner. Drove my wife and my two daughters crazy a little bit, but we were, you know, up at the crack of dawn there before rope drop, you know, had everything mapped out and planned out, you know, on what we were going to do and during the day. And even, you know, even to the, we weren't too militant. We had naps in the schedule, but they had to be in the schedule, you know.
Right.
And so, we had a blast. My very first trip with my young kids, they were 6 and 3, and they still had a blast, and it was so fun. And but now it's honestly, we're much more relaxed about it, and I so enjoy that, being able now to go to the parks, and you know, there's not a ride that we haven't ridden and things like that, so you can relax a lot more. And so now I'm a Disney people watcher nerd.
Well, you know what, earlier in the year when we first started the Disney Nerds Podcast, we had a show on kind of, the show was based upon, hey, if you had a friend or something going down to Walt Disney World, what would be your number one tip? And mine at that time was, and I still believe this is true, is slow down.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants to go to Disney, and to me, they want to run to go get on Space Mountain, and they pass so many great things up on the way. Slow down, take your time, take it all in, notice the details. That's what separates Disney from other theme parks to me.
Definitely a good company here, because that's really kind of our MO as well when we go. We just, maybe it's because we've gone more often, or, you know, we all joke that we wish we were local, so we're a little jealous there. But definitely, I think the more you go, the more you can appreciate how many of the little details there are and how many things there are to see and do that aren't just go, go, go and wait in line to do a new ride. And I have to say, when we had young kids, my kids are now 6, 6, and 2, and my husband and I used to go and be a lot more active, open to close, never stop, don't build in naps. But when we had young kids, of course we built in the nap, but we also really started to value that sit-down meal, which a lot of people think may be, you know, a waste of time. For us, it's a huge part of the experience. It's a necessary time to sit and relax, to take in some atmosphere, and to take in great foods. So it's sort of become what we plan our days around. Now, we haven't eaten at all the restaurants. We aren't the experts by any means. But where was that switch for you? Did you always enjoy dining at the restaurants, or was that something that came after several visits? When did you start really getting into Disney dining?
You know, it's a great question, Jen. I don't think we scheduled a single sit-down meal my first trip, and it wasn't for me as much as the fact that, you know, I didn't want to waste time, which you hear some people say that, and of course to each his own, you know, on that particular subject, but it was that I didn't realize that the vast number of, you know, choices there were, you know, at the Walt Disney World Resort. You can compare rides, you can compare maybe a little bit compare atmosphere, although I would argue there's not much comparison between Walt Disney World and other theme parks, but you can't compare the food. Right. I mean, there's the number of sit down, you know, classy, great service, magical places you can eat at Walt Disney World is unbelievable. I mean, no one even comes close.
You know, just kind of on that thought, I think I've noticed just in the past few years, even a stronger resurgence of that. It seems like they're definitely paying more and more attention to putting quality food out, even the quick service places.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I do think, you know, they're depending on who you ask, they will talk about, and I actually heard a survey the other day mentioned about whether people think, you know, Disney service has gotten better or worse across the board. And, you know, for the most part, most people feel like it's a little better, a little worse. And I guess it all depends on what your last visit was.
Sure.
In most cases. But I think consistently you can look at the food and say it's gotten better and better and better. I mean, even with, you know, great restaurants like Be Our Guest, I mean, there's epic theming, you know, in that restaurant. And the food is fantastic. And, you know, like I said, you just can't get, you know, gourmet food in most theme parks is a corn dog or a funnel cake, which I happen to love both, but
right.
It's not the only thing you can, you know, cotton candy, maybe it's not the only thing you can get to eat there. It's just the variety and the choices and the quality of the food and the way they handle, you know, special dietary needs and things like that. My wife is a gluten, realized about 5 years ago, she had all kinds of sinus problems her whole life, and she finally got diagnosed as being gluten-free, and it's changed her life. Wow. She doesn't have to, you know, drink Dimetapp to sleep every night because she just couldn't breathe.
Right.
And boy, the way she called me, she went, and a couple girlfriends went down to Disney on a long weekend trip and called me just blown away. She just said, hey, we're gluten, two of them were gluten-free, and she said, we're gluten-free. And the chef came out and, you know, told them about their options and just really felt well taken care of. So
they take Disney, it very seriously.
They will, and they should, because it's a life and it's a life and death matter. I mean, most theme parks, if you said I'm gluten-free, they would say, I'm sorry, what did you say?
Right.
And they take it serious there, and they should, because, you know, some of those, hers is obviously not life-threatening, but,
yeah, but
in her case,
is.
But boy, peanut allergies or anything like that, some people, you know, it's very, very serious.
I think you covered so much of it there, just in that, in those few statements. There is, in the, just the theme parks and the resorts, in the Walt Disney World Resort area, there's so much variety and so much incredible theming and great service and quality food and price ranges kind of all over the place, all different cuisines. And it's all of it. It's not either or. It's not you go to a cool looking restaurant with terrible food or terrible service, or you pay overpriced for something that tastes decent, but it, you know, looks like every other rundown restaurant in a different theme park. all the restaurants seem to have everything, which is really, like you said, it's very unique. I think, you know, I think of other theme parks around that we've been to, and the Disney parks definitely just, they take dining seriously, which is, I think that's the reason that for us, it's a big part of the experience. It's not just, you know,
the same thing.
If we were just going to go eat, we would just go get, you know, chicken fingers or run out for a peanut butter sandwich or something. But it's
about the experience.
It's absolutely part of the experience, which is really neat. So books like yours, websites like yours, I think are really important for people who are going for the first time and probably think of that theme park food. They think, okay, well, we're going to go and spend way too much money on hamburgers and pretzels. And while they have those options and they taste better than typical theme park food, they're, you know, selling the park short if that's all they think they're going to eat. But I think it's really valuable for people who have been, you know, dozens of times, because there's so much changing all the time and there's just so many options. You know, as we've mentioned, we've been several times and just haven't eaten at all the restaurants. And I know, Rick, that you actually, you and your wife, you have come close, or you have eaten at all the restaurants. Is that correct?
Almost all of them. You know, the one must-do restaurant that we haven't done yet is Victoria and Albert's.
Nice.
And we haven't done that yet. I can't wait to do it. We just have not had the right. It's not. It's really, we've got to do it because this is my job, right? Somebody's got to suffer through it.
That's
but,
right.
But we have. That's the one we have not had the occasion to do. There's probably a couple of other ones that we haven't done yet, but we certainly try to do every time we're down. We try to do, you know, different ones each time.
All right, so I'm not gonna punish you, Rick, and have you nail it down to one. What are your favorite two sit down meals in the Walt Disney World?
So here's kind of my thing. Once I became a local, and of course we have season passes. I love to just go eat at Disney. Forget about hanging out, you know, in the theme parks, et cetera. Just go find a restaurant and eat.
Sure.
We tend to, because it's so difficult to get into it, you know, the whole experience of getting into a theme park where you park, you know, a couple of miles away and take the tram and go through the ticket, you know, booth. We tend to do our drop-in meals in resorts or downtown Disney, just because it's a lot simpler. Love the restaurants in the theme parks. You know, we do those when we're gonna be in the theme park. And so I will mention two. I actually will mention three if you'll allow me to do that.
Sure.
I loved it in downtown Disney. I love Paradiso and I love Raglan Road. Especially love Raglan Road.
Nice.
Just great, you know, great natural. Everything in that place was, you know, imported from Ireland. It's a great experience, great service, great people, great food. But my absolute favorite has to be Ohana's for dinner. Just an amazing, you know, presentation, experience, location. You know, the servers and everyone is just fantastic. It's just got to be my favorite.
I have to agree with you 100% on Ohana. Me and my wife and my two kids are going down in February for me and my wife's 15-year anniversary. And we're probably not going to do a whole lot of sit-downs because we don't do those a bunch. We enjoy the park time and strolling around Epcot. But on the day of our anniversary, I asked my wife, I said, what do you want to do? What do you want to eat? And, between her and the kids, I mean, I think all three of them said, let's go to Ohana.
That's
great. Let's go eat a dinner at Ohana.
I have to say, all three of your choices are excellent. We've only done Paradiso once and Raglan Road a couple of times, but there are some that I feel like are not, you know, they're not ones that people are quick to say are their favorite. Maybe that's true of downtown Disney restaurants in general, but excellent choices. What do you think about the new, you know, the different announcements for the Disney Springs restaurants that are coming? What has you most excited?
The Boathouse probably, and I'm trying to remember, I gotta be honest, I can't remember the name of the one with the Iron Chef.
Morimoto.
Even if I remembered it, I couldn't.
Right, Morimoto, we're all gonna
Morimoto.
One of us should have got that right, but that's all right.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm super excited about, you know, they're doubling. From what I understand, not all of them have been announced, but they're doubling the number of restaurants, they're doubling the number of shops. Thank God they're doubling the number of parking.
I was about to say that.
That's what I was going to say too. Oh gosh, so well, true. You know that they've got a problem if all of us were there. But
you know, the only thing that concerns me though is that the last Iron Chef restaurant there didn't make it.
Was that, which one was that? Cat Cora?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know she was Iron Chef even.
I think so. I'm almost positive.
You're probably right.
Yeah. I never did watch it, but I think that's where she gets her. I think that's how, that where her fandom came from was Iron Chef.
Yeah.
Paradiso.
Yep.
What's the food there? I've never been there. I've been to Raglan Road, and I had the little it's like a sampler plate at Raglan Road that's got like pudding and sausage and.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, it was fantastic. And the calamari there, by the way, is to die for. It's like tempura fried, and there's tempura vegetables in there.
Oh really?
Oh man, the calamari. And I'm from Louisiana, so I'm to impress me with seafood is hard to do, but. The calamari at Raglan Road was fantastic, but I've never been to Paradiso.
Well, first of all, they have they claim the coldest beer on Walt Disney property.
That's all you have to say.
And they come in nice little like souvenir glasses for like $10.
What?
That's really cool.
All right, I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm going.
They call it the Taste of the Americas. It's a little bit of a Latin steakhouse type feel.
Okay.
It's more casual than, you know, it's not super, super formal.
Nice.
I'll tell you the thing that you've got to try there. They have, I think it's called crazy corn. They have ears of corn that are cut in half with cheese galore melted over them and some spices as an appetizer. And it is to die for.
It sounds like.
It actually might kill you, so.
Right. It really is to die for.
Yeah.
Literally.
I can hear my arteries clogging as I say it.
It sounds good, though.
It's, you know, we walk off those calories in Disney. That's what we love about it.
Yeah, all the food in Disney is calorie-free.
Yeah.
If only, right?
Right. All right. Following up with that, top two. You know what? We'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Three, counter service meals.
You know, I'm gonna say Flame Tree Barbecue in Animal Kingdom.
Never been there.
You can't walk by it without.
It smells fantastic. But
you gotta be careful when you talk about smells in Animal Kingdom.
True.
Because I said it to somebody, he said that sounds weird. It smells good in Animal Kingdom, but it does. Oh my god!
Yeah, when you're walking by it, it does smell good.
And it's always very fast and the food's very fresh, and I really like that one.
I think the thing that gets me about that one is there's no inside seating.
No, but they're actually the outside seating. They've got a lot of different areas, and it's really very decorated well. There's covered seating, but you're right. You know, if you're going, especially in the summer,
hot, right? Yeah.
You just, you know, one of our big tips for. One of our big tips for entering theme parks, my son and I talk about it all the time, is you always enter through the shops because you're trying to get air, steal some air conditioning. You know, when you're there in the hot summer, you get any air conditioning you can. So, yeah, I hear you on that one. You know, the other one, and I'm actually going to say this is bar service. It isn't quick service. But it's so fast, it's almost like quick service. I love the Tune In Lounge.
Yay!
Hollywood Studios. Great. I've actually met some good people there. Two Daves and Julie and Christian also.
Is our guy. We've had Christian the last three times we went.
Oh, have you? Isn't he great?
He's spectacular.
Well, you sit at the bar there. First of all, you don't need to, you know, that's 50s Primetime Cafe can be pretty hard to get into. And I love the routine of 50s Primetime Cafe the first three times I went.
Right.
And then it's like, yeah, get your elbows off the table. You know, it's great. But, you know, you get to sit in the bar there and order everything off that menu, and there's some great things, you know, on that menu. And you can walk right up without a reservation and, you know, sit at the bar, great bartenders, order anything from the menu. It takes them, you know, 5 minutes flat to get it to you. So
it is really quick. Yeah, I remember we went in the first time. Christian was actually the only one working. He was super busy. We were like, wow, this guy's not even really like talking to anybody. But he just, I mean, it was because he was literally remembering everyone's order. I mean, he was superb. He had everything super fast and accurate, and then was very friendly on top of it. He was very nice. He was just multitasking better than anyone I've ever seen, and we ate the whole fried chicken meatloaf combo, whatever that is, and a peanut butter and jelly shake. We were in and out in like 35 minutes. It was just amazing. It pretty much is like a quick service, and it was like $20.
Yep.
By the time you use like tables in Wonderland or something, and you know, it's not, I mean, it's really, really, that's an excellent choice. I never would have thought of that for a counter service answer, but I'll take it.
Thank you.
All right. What, one more?
You know, that's probably it for me for quick service. I mean, okay. I like Columbia House in Magic Kingdom a lot. There's a lot to like about some pretty, again, for quick service. You know, they've got some pretty interesting dishes there that we like a lot too.
I'm so upset that Casey's Corner didn't make your.
Oh gosh, if you'd have said food that you, if you don't get this food before you have a fire, watch the fireworks. You know, you'll shove a fork in your eye. It would have been Casey's. We've got to have Casey's. You know, we eat that.
I love the barbecue.
It's like I'm not even hungry, and I'm going to get something from Casey's. If the, you know, we typically as you know, good Disney files do try to scope out a good parade spot, like, you know, 90 minutes beforehand. So we lay out the stake out our spots and send somebody to Casey's.
Right. I love. I'm telling you, that's one of. And I'm not. It's probably. I mean, as far as ranking it on a culinary scale, probably not that fast. But just one of the things I feel like I have to have is the barbecue dog at Casey's. Like every trip, I at least have to stop there and get that.
It's like having popcorn in a movie theater. You gotta have it.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's just so good.
All right, so for
terrible for you, but
well, yeah, but that's the good stuff. Usually is.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about parade snacks, are you a Dole Whip or a Citrus Swirl fan? Or neither? I guess that's an option, but...
I think Dole Whip float, the pineapple Dole Whip float is God's gift to man.
Yes. Woman. All right. See, so you and I, we could get along, Rick. I've liked your answer so far.
Now, so let me tell you, let me ask you this one, though. That's, do you like the turkey leg?
I don't.
I don't either.
Oh, see?
I hadn't had one.
I thought I was
so
gonna.
Long.
I thought I was gonna get it there, but no, I don't.
I feel like Fred Flintstone or caveman walking around.
You know, I think it's the smell that draws people in. It's not necessarily the turkey. When you walk by, it does smell good.
To those that love them, you know, all power to you. But it is the single food for me, personally, that smells 10 times better than it tastes.
Yeah.
I do agree with you. It smells fantastic, and I always take the first bite and go, why did I get this again? It's so disappointing to me, but that's personal taste.
Okay, so favorite two snacks.
Well, the Dole Whip float is number one, and number two and number three. So I'll give you number four is probably the Mickey bar. It's just something about. Eating a Mickey-shaped ice cream for breakfast, lunch, or dinner in a Disney World theme park. I realize you can get that ice cream, you know, that similar type of ice cream just about anywhere else, but it just seems to taste about 63% better in Disney World.
I have to agree.
Absolutely.
I did have when we were down in October for the Food and Wine Fest and the Disney Nerds podcast meet, I did have an experience. I think the place is Sleepy Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
I got a fruit and Nutella waffle.
Oh, yes.
That me and my wife shared. And let me tell you, it was an experience. It was so delicious.
I have had those. They're fantastic. And, of course, they have a couple of like ham and cheese sandwiches and things like that waffles.
Waffles.
What's not to like about that?
It was incredible.
Say, so your site, DisneyDining.com, has all kinds of information about dining, of course.
Everything.
But there's also, I mean, there's other stuff. There's information about the app. There's information about holiday events. There's all kinds of stuff. But tell us what somebody can expect if they are visiting your site for the first time or if they're interested in your newsletter. I know you have the book coming out, that just came out, and I definitely want to talk more about that. But about your site, who should visit that? I mean, I think everybody should. It looks like it's got everything for everybody. Is that your goal then, is to be kind of a resource for anybody looking to plan a trip?
Yeah, thanks for that question. Well, first of all, we started out about 3 years ago, and this website was concepted by my then 12-year-old son and myself. We were sitting on the deck of a camper that we owned. Which we no longer own, because when we bought the place in Florida, we said, hey, let's
didn't
go
need
there.
It anymore.
Yeah. And so we were like, you know, we should do a website. My day job is running an internet company, and what would we do it on? And, you know, wouldn't it be great to do it at Disney? We love Disney. And then I wanted to do something a little narrower than all of Disney to start off with. So we thought, you know, Disney dining would be something that'd be fun to do. And so we launched the site believing that it was going to be exclusively about dining. And then as we branched out a little bit and tried a couple of other things, the audience really responded well. And so, you know, our big thing of what we've done is we watch very closely each and every article we put up or each and every list we put up. We watch very closely how the audience responds. And we try to adjust even our writing style and the types of things that we're covering based on how well they respond. And so the site certainly evolved. And, the big thing that I think that we found is people want they want one of two things. They want in-depth advice, like a complete review of a restaurant, et cetera, or they want quick tips. You know, I personally am a real list person, and so you'll find it, and the lists do really well on the site, so you'll find a lot of top 10 lists, top 7 lists, you know, things like that.
I like that stuff myself.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are consuming things on mobile devices. We have to remember that, and you know, it's a little harder to read lengthy, you know, things on a mobile device. So sure. We've tried to make it, you know, really pithy, really short, really simple things to read. And gosh, you're right. There is a little bit, you know, we just put an article up yesterday. I think it was 6 things to never bring to a Disney park. And one of them was a gun.
I saw it on the site.
because they actually did. Somebody brought a gun and got it probably accidentally through security, and they found it on the dinosaur ride in May of 2013. We're trying to cover. We're trying to just give pretty well-rounded, quick, easy-to-read stuff, you know, for people that are planning their trips.
You know, if a dinosaur approached you.
You'd want to be packing, I guess.
That's true. I guess so.
That's true, though. No, you know what? You say that, and it was either yesterday or a couple days ago. I was looking at the site, and when I opened it up, there was a huge gun right at the top. I'm like, what? I thought it was like a spam, like one of those spam ads or something. And then I read and I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now. That's why there's a gun on Rick's site.
And then on the flip side, the book, Dining at Disney World, The Definitive Guide, that is, as you mentioned, the in-depth. I mean, that's the epitome of in-depth. It's got details about all the places you can eat at Disney World. It's got information about how to do dining at Disney World. What was the reason, or what inspired you to start thinking about writing a book versus just doing the site?
You know, it goes back to what we talked a little bit about earlier, and that was, you asked me about my first visit, where did I eat, and it was nowhere because I had no idea the number of choices that were there. And if you show up at Disney World without reservations for most of the sit-down restaurants in any busy period, you know, you're going to be doing the walk of shame to the podium and not getting in usually. And so there are 3 really big decisions and frankly expenses that you have when you're going to Walt Disney World. It's lodging, tickets, and food. If you get those 3 right, you know, the rest sort of takes care of itself. If you get them wrong, you know, the most magical place on earth can become not so magical. So my experience is that most vacationers really researched and thought through the first 2. Where are we going to stay? Which parks are, you know, the tickets and lodging or tickets and which parks are we going to go to? And what are we going to do in each park? But it's very common for people to overlook the importance of planning and preparing for their dining experience. And so that's why we wanted to write the book. We wanted to help people make every minute and every dollar of their Disney vacation count, even the food decisions.
All right. So I'm going to channel Sam Marasini here for a second. he's because if he was here, this is what he would ask. What is your favorite adult beverage in Walt Disney World? And you can do top 2. You can do top 2 or 3. That's fine.
Boy, you know, I'm sort of a beer or white wine guy.
Okay.
And so I love the Raglan Road, you know, pretty much everything they've got, but I, you know, if I'm going to have only one beer for the rest of my life, and I don't drink a lot of these, but it would probably be a Guinness.
Okay.
Maybe at Raglan Road. I really like, you know, just having one of those. They're fantastic.
Okay.
A fantastic drink. And most guys aren't white wine people, but I am. I love Chardonnay. And for me, it's, you know, Chardonnay, there's all kinds of good different Chardonnays. For me, it's more about where you drink it in Walt Disney World. And I love the Outer Rim Lounge in the Contemporary. It's very small, but it's a great place to hang out and look at the Magic Kingdom and watch fireworks and things like that. And the Contemporary's, you know, it's an older hotel, but it's kind of special and it's iconic too.
I think and that's so, so true, though. The wear has a lot to do with it. Like, if I'm sitting at home and want a glass of wine, I'd probably drink a glass of red wine. But, you know, if I was walking around Epcot, around the World Showcase, I'd probably want more of a white wine, just because it's a little more light and refreshing. And I will say my favorite, though. It's so hard to put a favorite on it. Jen, what's your favorite?
Oh, I don't know.
You know I love
the Iron Horse Fairy Tale Cuvée, which is kind of hard to find, but that sparkling, I mean, it's not a champagne because it's not from Champagne, but their sparkling white wine that they have just in Disney parks. But that's not readily available. So otherwise, I don't know. I'm not picky.
Not in a bad way,
but I just mean I just enjoy where I am.
For my wife, it's the Grand Marnier Orange Slush.
I still haven't had that.
It's a huge. I mean, it's like the. For me, it's probably a Carl's Combo. That's the one thing. Have you had a Carl's Combo?
I don't think I have.
So I've got interest. It's at the Rosen Crown.
Yep.
Carl works there. He's been there like since inception. And we went there the first time. I went in there, got a beer. We kind of like we want to try different things. He said, "Well, try a Carl's Combo." And we're getting this from Carl, right? So it's like it's half Bass and half Stella.
Now that sounds delicious.
I'm telling you, it's fantastic. Now, it's on the menu, but on Disney's menu, they call it a golden.
Gotcha.
But the man told me he invented it, so when I go there, I order a Carl's Combo.
That's awesome. I will tell you what the coolest looking drink, in my opinion, is in Disney, and that's the Lapu. I think I'm pronouncing it correctly. Lapu.
Oh, yeah.
They sell it at Ohana, and I can't remember the name of the bar there. It'll hit me in a minute. But
right outside of Ohana.
Right, the bar right outside of Ohana.
While you're waiting to eat there.
Oh, yeah. It's served in a big pineapple.
That's so cool.
In a big pineapple.
Literally.
It's fantastic.
It's also delicious.
It is very good. It's you know, you're not getting a lot of drink in that pineapple, probably
no.
paying for it. But boy, the presentation is unbelievable.
It is.
And we went a year or two ago. We went. Me and my wife were there on a solo trip, on just an adult trip, and we had reservations there, and we went a little early, and just asked the bartender his recommendations, and we drank a couple different fruity, you know, Hawaiian style drinks. It was pretty neat because I'm not typically one to drink those type of drinks. I'm kind of like you. I'm kind of a beer guy.
Yeah.
But it was neat to drink to get a taste of that and be in that atmosphere.
So ask me what my favorite place to hang out in Walt Disney World is.
All right, go ahead. What's your favorite?
I think it's Tutto Gusto in Epcot.
It's
a wine bar there, and it's not a secret. It's too strong of a word, but you want to talk about walking out of the heat,
hidden gem
weather. Yeah, hidden gem. It is back in Italy. It's on the back of Tutto Italia.
Right.
Great wine bar. Tons of wine flights, and it's like you're walking into a cave. Very dark, very quiet. Great theming. Good people.
I think Sam's a big fan of Tutto Gusto.
I was about to say, I think Sam has brought up Tutto Gusto.
Yeah.
Because you can order off the menu from Tutto Italia at Tutto Gusto, can't you?
You can.
Yeah.
You can. Again, it's like, I love those places that You can go into Impromptu and have a great experience. We mentioned the Tune In Lounge. I think Tuna Goose is another one where you can, you know, order fantastic food, you know, in a bar setting and without, you know, having to have a long reservation. Or love the walk up places when you can get those.
I think the just one more alcohol place is the tequila bar in Mexico.
Cava Tequila.
It's pretty fantastic.
And that's the Tudo Gusto is a little bit like that. It's really very secluded and cool and not really all that busy all the time. So
awesome. All right. What started the book? Where did it come from?
Well, you know, when we first launched the site, we thought about doing a book. And we just decided that getting the site going was hard enough as it was. And we're about 2.5 years into the process of the site. And one day, it wasn't, it kind of just hit me. You know, now's the time to do a book. We feel like we've gotten to critical mass with our sites and our Facebook communities, our email growth and things like that. And so I called my co-author, Paula Brown, who was actually the very first writer that ever submitted the very first review on DisneyDining.com was from Paula. She's a great writer and lives in Orlando and a huge Disney fan. And so I called her and said, hey, thinking about writing a book, what would you think about co-writing it with me? And her exact words were, it's about time.
Let me ask you, she didn't write anything Disney before, though.
No, she's written a ton of Disney stuff.
Okay.
She had written she's a fiction author.
Okay, so that's
written a couple of her own books.
Gotcha.
But she had not written any books. She's been a ghostwriter on a couple of Disney projects. She's written about, you know, for the Orlando Sentinel and just about every publication in town for Disney. So she's a consummate. She's a great writer. Very, you know, very very fun, but very technically sound. You know,
that's fantastic when it comes. So like. Comes like full circle that she was your first review of the site, and that, you know, that's kind of how you found her, and then you create something great together.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I can't tip my hat enough or show enough gratitude to Paula. I can honestly tell you, if it weren't for Paula, the book wouldn't have ever gotten done. She did so much hard work on it. I'm so grateful for her. So that's kind of how it came about. You know, the book is about 350 pages. It's which is, you know, amazing. It's a very thick book, very comprehensive. We actually had to, you know, edit it down to get it to that length, because, you know, the original manuscript was much longer than that. So we were trying to keep it from being War and Peace, but
right.
It's very readable. It's broken into very short sections, and so it's the type of thing you can pick up and read a few chapters and pick
up. I got a pretty early sample of the book before it hit shelves, and I got a chance to look at it, and it's very well done. I hope sales are doing well.
You know, the sales are absolutely exceeding my expectations. I'm so grateful for the site and the book and Paula, and, you know, even talking with you guys. The whole thing for me is a very humbling experience, because when my son and I started thinking about let's do a website, we literally just said let's do it as a hobby. It wasn't anything we ever thought would be the size it is, or even of any size at all. We just thought, hey, this would be fun. And one of the things that, you know, I mentioned to you, my day job is we're running a web business. I found out a lot about myself launching these websites and doing this book, and that is I can't do anything halfway. I'm kind of obsessed with quality, and so I started off trying to do a little blog and said, yeah, the logo's terrible, maybe I could just get somebody to design a logo for me. And then, well, the logo looks so good, maybe we could get somebody to help us design the front page. And we got the front page designed and said, this could be good. This could be interesting.
This could go somewhere.
Yeah, it might go somewhere. And so we look back on it now, it's a short time, it's only 3 years, but we've been blown away by the fans and how well they've responded to the stuff that we've done.
Well, the book is available, I know, on Amazon, and it's got chapters you can see just right off the bat. Dinner without the children, tipping at full-service restaurants, character dining, breakfast, special sandwiches. I mean, there are chapters on everything. But I also see that there's a Kindle version available, and there are some chapters on things like snacks of the world. Is this something that you think people could take on, you know, their smartphones and have kind of as a reference? Certainly we know as regulars or even locals that you're going to need to make your main like dinner dining reservations far in advance. You're not going to make that on the fly so much, but it looks like there's plenty of information. Is it accessible enough, especially in that maybe digital format, that they can use as a resource while they're in the parks?
I think it is. In fact, a good friend of mine was in the parks the other day, and they were sitting there waiting for a parade, and he looked over and someone on their smartphone had our book up and was looking through it. So it's portable, and he said, "Do you like that book?" And I said, "Yeah, I just bought it. It's helped us plan our vacation. It's been really helpful."
That's great.
He said, "Yeah, my friend wrote that." So yeah, it's definitely portable. I will tell you this: I think here's what I've learned about doing Disney websites and the book. There are two reasons people come to Disney websites primarily or go to books. Number one, of course, is the obvious, and that is they're planning. Right? They want to make the most of their vacation. But the other is, I think people want to experience the magic of Disney when in between trips. And yeah. So it's for me, it's amazing.
I love that. Well, that's why we enjoy, you know, going to it, or it comes up often on the podcast or even the newsletter, because you have all that information for all of us, you know, just entertaining pieces. So maybe we're not going specifically to learn what 6 things not to bring. Somebody might be learning those things for the first time, not to bring a gun into the parks. But the rest of us are just getting, you know, entertainment from it in between trips, which is really great. So,
I mean, I think that goes for all of us. I mean, for the podcast, I think we have some people that are planning a trip that want to listen and kind of get some ideas. And I agree. The flip side, you know, you get people who... that's how I started listening to podcasts. It wasn't really... By the time I started listening to podcasts, I don't want to say I was a pro, but I had a pretty good feel about what I was going to do and you know, the right approaches to take. But it kind of filled in the magic between the trips.
Yeah, it brings back the memories, and it certainly feeds the anticipation of the next trip, you know?
Yeah. So as far as next things go, do you have any next plans? Do you have any big, anything
Master
you can share
plan.
With us? Yeah, anything you can share about future plans for Disney Dining?
We're actually working on a new book, which I can't tell you about, or I have to kill you.
All right, well, we want that.
Nobody wants that. But it's not dining related. It's something a little different. So,
cool.
But we'll be announcing that sometime in the spring. And, you know, I think we just want to keep doing what we're doing. We try to get a little better at it every day, and it's, you know, so far so good, and we're again very, very grateful for, you know, all of the Disney fan community. You know, websites are just so friendly, and you know, it's like a family within a family, and so we're grateful for guys like you and your podcast and all that you do to support Disney fans and, you know, other Disney websites. So
it's a great community, it really is. And it's funny that you know, the hint is you're doing another book, because I had contacted you. It's been a while, and hey, you know, you want to come on the show? And you're like, you know what? Give me a minute, because I got something big I'm working on.
And hey, you were the third person, Jimmy, to know about this book between Paula, me, and you. So thank you for keeping it confidential.
Well, you know. I'm a pretty trustworthy guy most of the time.
Well, we'll have to have you back on when you're allowed telling us.
Right. That's right.
Well, when you're allowed sharing the details of your next book, we'll have to have you back on to tell us without killing anybody.
Yeah, that'd be better, I think, for all concerned.
Well, Rick, look, we held you long enough. We appreciate the time. We're so thankful to have you on and giving us the time to come on the show and reach out to our fans. And if there's anything we can ever do for you, just let us know. And we love the partnership. Like I said, the Disney community is a very, very good community. It's been very good to us.
It has been my great honor, guys. So thank you for having me, and thank you for all that you do.
Thank you. Real quickly, before we go, other than DisneyDining.com, where can our listeners find you, or is that pretty much the best place to find out what you're doing?
That's the best place. We also have a new website that we launched about a year ago called DisneyQuestions.com, and we've answered about – that's a website where people can just literally ask their questions, any Disney question, and we get some really bizarre ones, but they're fun. And we get some really common ones, of course. But
oh my goodness, I did not know about this site. And the first thing is there really such a thing as Disney jail at the Disney parks? This is already making me laugh. There's some great questions about holiday decorations and best times to visit for crowds, but then there's a question about Disney jail. I foresee a lot of time on this site in my future.
we've had it a little over a year now. We've had 5,000 questions that have been submitted that have been kind of answered by our panel of experts. So that one, again, much like Disney Dining, that it took off a little faster than we thought it was going to. I think we struck a little bit of a chord with the Disney fans. So that's the only other site that we have right now.
The book, Amazon.com. Is there any other place to get it? Can they get it from the website?
Really, Amazon and Kindle.
Amazon and Kindle.
Two places. We're just trying to keep it simple, and you know, those are the two places that just about anybody can get it. And if you're a Prime, Amazon Prime member, you can get it shipped for free. So,
very cool.
Fantastic, Rick. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank
for
you.
On the show, we really appreciate it. You are truly a Disney nerd. And fit right in with the group, so we completely appreciate it. Jennifer?
Yeah, thanks so much. I'm just looking forward to continuing to see all the fun things that come across the Disney Dining site, now the Disney Questions site, and your new secret book. Thanks so much for coming on, Rick.
All the best, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, guys, for listening.
Well, that's it for show number 63 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with the show, please send us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com, and also check out our website, thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and you can stop by our Facebook pages, the Disney Nerds group page and the Disney Nerds podcast page. Well, again, thank you very much, Rick. That was an incredible interview. Really appreciate you giving us your time. And for all our listeners out there, thank you for listening to us. And we'll see you later. Kungaloosh.